Blog Talk Radio.
A nigga be blowin', spittin' the game. Coming up on you from the south, the ATLians ain't changed. Cooler than most players claim to be. A nigga that's from the A-Town C, the home of the bankhead bound. Kevin Terrell, then other city streets. Enough of the morality, fantasy, but we speak, not fiction. Keepin' up pullin' your guts, slickin' the Jerry Curse, you bitches. Every time I rhyme for y'all, I'm looking to prove a point. Kicking a freestyle every now and then, but mostly after joint. See how I smoke good, cause see it go good with them flows. Why? The nigga the B.I.G. like Tony Rich, nobody knows why. But me and my folks, cause y'all niggas joke just like the Joker. I'm sick of these whack-ass rappers like I'm tired of hoes and chokers.
Who them boys that be having a crunk every occasion? This side niggas dust and that side niggas lacing. But in the middle we stay calm, we just drunk on. Asking where we come from, so I'm so strong.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac. It's just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
This old sucker MC stepped up to me. Challenged Andre to a battle, and I stood there patiently as he spit and stumbled over cliches, so-called freestyling. Whole purpose just to make me feel look. I guess you wild, and I say look why I ain't for that fuck shit. So fuck this, let me explain on the child style so you don't miss. I grew up to myself, not round no park bench. Just a nigga bustin' flows off in the apartment. Now who them boys that be having to crunk every occasion? This side niggas dustin', that side niggas lacing. But in the middle we stay calm, we just drop bombs. Asking where we come from, South Coast strong.
Just two dope boys in a Cadillac.
Hello and welcome to Doom Radio. Today we're talking draft. Give me one sec. There you go, Doug.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. Just was doing the intro. Just telling everybody we were going to talk 2015 draft today. And that's where I was. That was literally where I was at.
All right, fair enough. Just gotta pop the computer open here. I just got done with some brunch.
Yeah, and I'm kind of happy that we're starting Saturday because
yeah.
we get a little bit of news throughout the week, and
yeah.
I guess it's very little news. And just to start off, we can even start with them now because they got a really good high grade, and that was the Jaguars. Yeah, they're already out their first draft pick for the season. So, that's just
what
not,
happened?
Dante
their first
Flowers.
Draft pick's already out?
Yeah, Dante Flowers Jr., torn ACL, out for the year already.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Nope.
How did he hurt himself?
Practice. First day of practice at that.
Man, Jaguars do not have good history.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was a couple of years ago when they drafted, what's his name, the tackle or something like that, and he was, like, out immediately. Like in the first game of the year.
I think
it might have been last year.
It
was the year before that. It was the year before they drafted Bortles.
Okay. Yeah, but I know that they lost their. Yeah, there's a hot mess, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not really their fault. I mean, you don't really draft somebody saying, oh, they're going to get hurt for the season. It's nothing you hope for or try to think about, but. It just sucks when it happens. And, Jags just seem to be picking these guys. And, kind of sucks because they definitely need defensive help. And now we got to see what they can muster up now. Probably got to go to free agency or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, Fowler being out, that's obviously... Yeah, I mean, who knows how much, as a third pick overall, you feel like the guy would probably have, like, a pretty big impact, or at least a decent impact.
Mm-hmm.
in his first year. So, I mean, they might have to try to work something out with free agency or maybe make a trade, but, I mean, I don't see that, like, really materializing for them necessarily all that much. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
And, they also picked up T.J. Yeldon from Alabama, and, I guess they're looking at him to be their three-down back. So, I mean, I hope that works out. It's just such a young offense, I felt like. Could have gave maybe a Storm Johnson a chance, even Robinson. I mean, I know I don't know if they're potential three-down every down back, but even rotate them, do maybe a series at a time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I still feel with that number two, they could have really either went offensive line or defense. I just think they could have worked something with their. Now, if Yeldon blows up this year and shuts me up, I mean, great pick for them. But how their defense was getting pushed around last year, I just don't see how they didn't go defense with the 36th pick overall. You still get like a potential first round defensive player.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think one of the best drafts by far has to go to Oakland.
Oakland?
Oakland made a lot of solid picks. And they had a lot of picks too. I mean, they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They had 10 picks in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Amari Cooper, Mario Edwards, Clive Walford, tight end out of Miami, and then they got Feliciano out of Miami, offensive guard. Then they got two inside linebackers and an outside linebacker. And then I like the late pickup wide receiver Andre DeBose out of Florida. I think that's a good pickup late in the seventh round, actually, fourth overall pick 221. They pick up a couple wide receivers, a tight end. I think, this, if not this year, but next year, if Carr doesn't show any improvements,
mm-hmm.
at least this year with more weapons, and honestly, you would think that by the time all those guys get in their second year, like, he would be able to, play pretty well or do something to make it, he should be able to show his stuff, essentially, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think this will actually give them a nice chance to do a little bit more of an evaluation on Carr. Obviously, without any weapons last year, it's kind of hard to make an evaluation on how good he is. I mean, obviously, his pass yards per attempt and stuff like that, in my opinion, wasn't very good. But, I mean, if you don't really have anyone to throw to, then it makes it kind of tough. So,
yeah, it's
I think the jury's still out on him.
Yeah. But, like, I've been going through, like, everybody's, like, grades and everything the past few days. And
yeah.
What I feel like I've noticed is everybody that's grading is pretty much grading, to me, off of names. Like, off of, who this guy is and, what they did in college. I mean, that means a lot. But it's like...
Well, I mean, you're not
going to
know,
better.
Honestly. You won't know the grade of the
yeah.
draft until, like, 3 or 4 years from now. Like, you can grade your draft on, based on game film that you watch. And you talk to coaches, you talk to teammates, you talk to family, you talk to all those kind of people, how eventually that stuff is going to work out for you in the end. So, obviously, that's why they say the NFL draft is a crapshoot. You know what I mean? Like, you never really
yeah.
know until a few years down the road how the draft really ended up turning out for you. So... Like I said, it'll be
yeah.
like I said, at least be a couple of years before we really know what the deal is, I guess.
But I mean, like you said about the Raiders, right? They weren't in like the big top groups or nothing, but they definitely addressed a lot of their issues. They got a big name receiver. They addressed their D line, their linebacking core. I mean, yeah, they're not, you don't know what these guys are really going to do, especially the late picks, because everybody's really basing their, drafts off the, first three rounds. But it's like,
yeah,
how many guys have been late picks that have contributed to their team, and they're like, man, this guy was a fifth-round draft pick. And it's like, they addressed they saw what they wanted for their team, their system. They addressed it. They got the guys they wanted. So if they filled their holes, I feel that you got to look at is what their team needed and what they got, not more of who they got and where they got them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, looking at the Dallas Cowboys after the draft, I mean, are they or are they not, like, after the signings this offseason with Greg Hardy, then they take Gregory from Nebraska, who's got problems, and then they sign, after the draft, they sign Collins from LSU, the offensive, who had, you know, his girlfriend had just gotten, or ex-girlfriend had just gotten murdered or something like that, and he was wanted in police questioning. Supposedly, the police have already ruled him out for anything that could have possibly been done. But still, I mean, it seems like Dallas is really kind of taking on a lot of players with
like
question marks.
Just,
I mean, I don't know if they're just really looking to just essentially get as much talent as possible, regardless of whether the guy, like, you know, beat his wife up or not. I guess they just really don't care.
Yeah. And so, I mean, you know, if these guys clean their attitudes up, which, you know, Pac-Man Jones, he's a great example. First few years were rough, and you have not – only time you hear him now is about football. And it's awesome because he really –
Well, he doesn't
even
go by Pac-Man anymore. They just – he's Adam Jones now.
Yeah. And but it's good because it shows that people can turn around. And if you ask me, he really was just a person in the wrong place at the wrong time most of the time. Because he really got crucified for was going to a strip club. Like, oh, he went to a strip club. Like,
he did the wrestling thing too for a while. Like, I remember he tried to do some kind of like cameo on like WWE or something like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And even, that's not that bad. You know, like, you know, they try to crucify him. Like, Pac-Man Jones was with people that got in a fight. It's like, did he get in a fight? You know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I get he's around a bad crowd, but he's not getting in trouble. He's around, you know, the people that he was with got in trouble, and sometimes he wasn't even there. He was just with them earlier. They were just trying to crucify him for anything, like anything at all. And it just got tiresome. It's like, dude, you're just trying to drag this guy through the thorns for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. I mean, you know, negative stories get much more publicity than positive stories do, and it's been that way on the news for a long time now. I mean, at least recently, I've seen certain programs like ESPN, they do a lot of, you know, like feel-good stories and stuff like that. Like, yeah, I feel like ESPN more than other stations actually try to balance that stuff, especially with sporting. Good things that happen, like, you know, equal the playing field, level the playing field sports, you know, is the ultimate.
Yeah.
What do they call it? I can't think of it off the top of my head, but it's like the all around, like, everyone's like equal in sports. It's all the same, supposed to be the same roles, which obviously, what do you think about Deflategate? I mean, honestly, you think Tom Brady to me, horrible liar.
Yeah.
I think he's a horrible liar.
And I you know, like, I was just reading up on that too. And supposedly in the report, what they're labeling him with is that he had general knowledge of what was going on. So, I mean, what does that really mean? You put, you know, why couldn't you just say he had knowledge of what's going on instead of general? Like, they had to throw, like, the general just makes it seem, you know what I mean? If he knew what was going on, you would just say he knew what was going on, but you're like, he had generals. Yeah. So that's like, oh, he walked by while the guy was like the balls, and he's like, I might have heard that, and just kept walking. That's to me is what general knowledge is, you know? And,
I don't know. Like, they played back his thing about like what he said. They're like, did you cheat? And he goes, not that I know. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, you know what I don't know. It's one of those things where it's like, honestly, I don't think that I wouldn't think that deflating the ball would honestly make all that much of a difference. I really, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think, you know, if your team loses 45-7, I don't think that a deflated ball is probably like biggest problem.
Yeah, that
team.
Wasn't the issue.
Maybe you should draft some defensive players instead of like a second T.Y. Hilton in the draft. To me, honestly, I think Indy had the worst. Well, at least like initially, I believe that their first-round selection was quite foolish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I mean,
to
take Dorsett. I just thought it was a luxury pick, according to other sources on ESPN.
I mean, like,
I thought it was
definitely
a weird pick. I thought they'd go deep. They had the oldest defense in the league, and they go in with a 5'8 wide receiver out of Miami. Like, you have that guy. It's called T.Y. Hilton. He's from FIU.
Yeah. They definitely could have went big, like, because that was their issue. They could have – there was plenty of D-tackles still available, and they definitely could have beefed up.
Tons of guys they could have picked.
And they
the
only got
the draft?
One defensive end. They only got one defensive line player throughout the whole draft anyway, so –
They picked a wide
receiver
in the first round and an offensive guard in the last round. Everyone in between, except for Jeff Robinson out of Mississippi State, all defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dwan Smith out of Florida Atlantic. Henry Anderson, defensive end out of Stanford. They actually picked a kid out of UCF, Clayton Gaithers, safety. They picked defensive tackle out of Stanford also, David Perry. And inside linebacker, Amarlo Herrera. Out of Georgia. It was a 6th-round pick.
Yeah. So,
I've never really heard. I mean, they didn't have any picks in the 2nd round. They only had one. They had one pick in the 1st round at 29, and then they had 2 picks in the 3rd, 1 pick in the 4th, 1 pick in the 5th, 2 in the 6th, and 1 in the 7th. But honestly, I don't think that their draft was honestly all that good.
Yeah. The thing is, I think they're going with their, I know that it's not the same coaching staff and everything, but I think they're going with, kind of like the Peyton Manning thing. Let Andrew Luck get a lead, and that way we can have the undersized defense that can, drop back and kind of play like a cover 2 and manage the defense, and we could score fast, they could score slow type of mentality.
Yeah.
So, that's why, that's the only way I can defend the Dorsett, pick, because it really does make their offense very, very, lethal. Like, having another speedster, they picked up Andre Johnson, and, they still have T.Y. Hilton, and what's when Moncrief kind of picked it up last year. So they're kind of lethal on offense. So it kind of makes sense, but it's definitely a gamble. Because if it doesn't work, now you're stuck with an undersized defense with some players that you really don't know where you're going to get out of right now. So it's a gamble. It's a gamble. But it definitely puts them on a – definitely – but I mean – to gamble with your draft, I definitely can see them, they definitely deserve a low draft grade because, they gambled with it. It's either going to look amazing a year or two from now, like you said, or they're going to look back like, why did they do that? Like, what were they thinking?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, the team that's had maybe some of the worst drafts in recent history, in my opinion, maybe had the best draft of any team, and that's the Cleveland Browns. They didn't get silly. Mm-hmm. They made smart draft picks. They went D tackle, center. They went Cameron Irving in both picks in the 1st round at 12 and 19. Then they went in the 2nd round. They went outside linebacker out of Utah. I like the 3rd round selection. They didn't really have anybody at running back. I like the pickup of Duke Johnson out of Miami in the 3rd round. I think that's a great pick for them. I like Charles Gaines out of Louisville. I think that's a great pick in the 6th round. And then their last pick of the draft was the kid from Oregon, Ifo Ekpraelomu, who was supposed to be a top 10 pick before he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if you're throwing another corner in there with Hayden, who if healthy, the guy should be a really solid corner. Gaines, I remember playing at Louisville against Florida State, was a decent corner. So I think that really, like I said, in my opinion, I think Cleveland probably had one of the top 5 drafts this year, if not top 3, easily. I think they made some really good pickups.
Yeah, I was saying earlier, man, they filled their, what they needed. And, you know, I mean, their defense last year, because of kind of the rule change with the pass interference, how they got a lot more stricter on it. So we definitely saw Hayden not as potent as he was the year before. And I think he'll adjust, but he's still a good corner. And they picked up a rookie last year, but I think he was like kind of the same as Hayden, and they were both so physical that they had to kind of change their game. So they didn't seem amazing last year, and it could pan out this year, you know, a year after playing with the new rule or just the new strictness of the rule. And I can see them, like you said, they got D-line, because you definitely need to get some pressure. If they have to play softer, you have to get some pressure to, like, help them, like, soften up some. And, you know, they just fill their holes, man. And, you know, Manziel's still a big question mark. But, like you said, those smart picks. It wasn't, you know, a move up to get Manziel this year. You know, it wasn't something like that. You know, we all thought they were going to get rid of their two first-rounders to move up to get somebody, and they took what they had and made with it.
Yeah, I agree. And instead of getting all crazy over other picks, they just took their picks, picked their best guy on their board, and went about it that way, and I thought that was a smart play for them.
Yeah, so, all right, I had to ask you, what did you think of the Bears draft?
I thought the Bears draft, I thought it was an okay draft. I mean, they had six picks. It was, you know, they didn't have any, you know, they had the great pick in Kevin White in the first round. I mean, obviously, this kid's a stud. You know, he's got all the tools. I like to pick up, obviously, Eddie Golden out of Florida State. I think he's a good D tackle. I mean, anybody that the Bears can pick up to put on defense, I think, is a smart move. Obviously, their lines had some problems. I like the pick at center. I don't know too much about Grasu from Oregon, but supposedly that was a decent pick. I don't really like the pick in the fourth round of running back Jeremy Langford. I guess they kind of need a running back backup to Forte. I know that I don't think they really had necessarily anybody that you would have called like a solid backup, really.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could see drafting a running back. But I don't know. At the same time, I feel like if you could pick somebody up that, you know, like an undrafted free agent to play your backup instead of wasting on a guy in the fourth round of running back when you really need to beef up your defense, you know, I just don't understand. I think maybe he was the best guy available on their board. Maybe the defensive guys that they wanted were already gone, or the other guys that they thought about were, you know, they didn't want to, okay, well, that would be a reach if we took the guy in the fourth round. So maybe he was the best player available on their board at the time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be one of the only things that I could think of as far as why they would actually pick up a running back in a fourth round.
Yeah, that makes sense. I definitely thought they would address their cornerback situation. You know, they got free safety in the fifth. And what was his Fletcher, I want to call him, right? That was the rookie last year they had that stepped in when Tillman got hurt?
No. You're thinking of Kyle Fuller.
There we go.
It was the corner that they drafted. Yeah, he was really good last year.
Yeah, he stepped up big time last year. So I guess they saw that if they could put somebody behind him young, maybe that would, do good. Because, I mean, he really did well. He did really well. Like, you know, he wasn't, like, completely shut down one side of the field good, but he definitely stuck to his guys. And he had a good amount of interceptions and everything. He stepped in pretty well. It was just the rest
of
the defense.
He made some really good plays. He made some great plays last year. He had some good picks I watched. I think he had a couple picks in one game. I thought for a rookie, I mean, the guy's a rookie. I got to remember the guy's a rookie. So I thought for a rookie, the guy played extremely well.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that's something that the Bears could definitely build on. But, yeah, I mean, I guess if Tillman's not going to be injured this year I don't know necessarily his situation, but I think it would have been smart if they would have maybe picked up a linebacker, honestly, because I think – did Briggs retire? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. Let's see, I got this. My computer sucks now. I cannot get facts fast. This thing, I can only have a certain amount of windows open.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. That's why I was having an issue with the studio and the blog talk, because I had too many windows open. I was like, man, this thing is, I mean, it's great for what I use it for, but man.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still in there from what I can see. Yeah, but he's definitely getting up there.
Yeah.
He's been in for a while.
Who do you think who do you think had one of the worst drafts?
No, I think he is gone actually. Lance Briggs. I'm just Grasso, the new player, is wearing his number.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
55?
Yep.
Yeah.
So take that back. Yeah, he's done so.
I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so.
I like what the 49ers did. I thought that they made some really good picks. Especially in the late rounds. I mean, I don't really know, honestly. I really wouldn't really be able to tell you too much about the three guys that they drafted in the first three rounds.
Mm-hmm.
But the next three guys that they drafted, Blake Bell obviously was the quarterback out of Oklahoma. They drafted him as a tight end.
Okay.
And then they drafted the running back, Mike Davis, out of South Carolina, who was the backup for Marcus Lattimore, who I believe retired, deciding not to play football again. And then also in the fourth round, they drafted DeAndre Smelter out of Georgia Tech. In my opinion, that's the number one sleeper pick in my draft, to get that guy in the fourth round. I mean, Georgia Tech, we're talking about, this is the same school that Calvin Johnson went to. I know that eventually, you know, he was a little bit more refined as far as, you know, his pass catching skills and all that stuff, even within Georgia Tech's offense at the time that he was drafted. But I think Smelter could be a guy who could be like obviously Demaryius Thomas also went to Georgia Tech. He was a later round pick. You know, they didn't necessarily think that he would be amazing. And now, obviously, you know, doesn't hurt that you have Peyton Manning throwing to you, but obviously Demaryius Thomas has all the tools to be an awesome wide receiver.
Yeah.
So I really think that the DeAndre Smelter pick, I think 3 years from now, you'd be like, man, how did that guy go in the fourth round? You know?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be one of those things a couple of years from now, people are going to be like, man, dude, I can't believe they got him in the fourth round. So I think that was honestly maybe their best pick. I mean, the other picks, Eric Armstead from Oregon, I think it's an okay pick. I have never heard of Jaquiski Tartt from Samford.
Yeah.
Safety. Another 6'1", 221. I mean, it sounds like, you know, it's all right. But they picked up a couple offensive linemen late, too. One guy from Florida, one guy from Boston College. I mean, not necessarily guys that I have, you know, never really heard of.
Yeah, they definitely went smart getting defense first, though. They had to address that, especially, you know, they had a bunch of retirees, and, you know, it's they definitely had to do something to fill those holes quick. And, they're going against Seattle, the Rams, and Arizona, so you can't be weak in that division right now.
Yeah.
So you need some immediate answers. And I see how Kirkpatrick does, man. You know, giving them the targets. Just, I don't know what they have to do with coaching them, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Let's see. Looking around.
Like Redskins had a decent draft, too. They got Jamison Crowder, wide receiver out of Duke in the fourth round. Running back Matt Jones out of Florida. I think that'll be a steal pickup eventually. I think his offensive line, I don't know, I think his offensive line at Florida wasn't very good. So I think he'll be better in the NFL. Yeah, I mean, the draft, Redskins drafted Scherf, number one, defensive end, number two with the second round pick. And they drafted a couple wide receivers. They drafted a couple offensive linemen. So I think RG3 is going to have a little bit of help, so hopefully maybe he can step it up a little bit.
Man, I don't even know. I mean, he has the targets in, I was about to say Santana Moss, Pierre Garçon, and what's the guy from Philly? Why can't I think of his name? Oh, DeSean Jackson. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name for a second. He has the targets there. I don't know. I started doubting the running back last year, though. I can't think of anybody.
Who?
Morris.
He's a kid from FAU. Yeah, Alfred Morris.
Yeah, he just had an okay year, if you ask me, last year. He didn't kind of pop out like he did his rookie year.
Yeah.
Or was it second? Yeah, was it his second, third year or second year last year? I don't know. Either way, like, he just didn't carry that, like, presence last year. He just didn't seem like a threat. I felt like Helu would come in and do more damage to me than he would. So, I don't know. Alfred Morris just didn't have that spark like he did. I'm not sure why, but he just didn't grab me last year.
Fair enough.
And another draft where I was talking about earlier about how, like, people, you know, knocking drafts because they didn't get the names. But
uh-huh.
The Steelers. I really like the Steelers draft. You know, they really addressed, you know, their cornerback situation. They got two cornerbacks, one in the second, Cinquez Golson, and then in the fourth, they got Doran Grant. They picked up an outside linebacker in Dupree. I mean, their first three out of four picks were all defense where they needed to address because they're linebackers. They all got hurt last year, and I'm not sure who came back, who didn't. See, at one point, they had to who did they get out of retirement? They literally called one of their old players out of retirement to come in and play because they were depleted on linebackers last year. And I feel they addressed that situation. They addressed their cornerback situation. And then they got Sammy Coates out of Auburn to give Big Ben another receiver. So I just feel like they really addressed their team early. And they got a low draft grade for what I think they did very well in the draft.
Yeah. I think they did all right. I think it's an okay draft for them. I mean, honestly, I probably would have drafted a couple of offensive linemen. I know that they had other than Indianapolis, they had like the second oldest defense in the league, and obviously I think Polamalu retired. So, I mean, they definitely needed – I mean, they're an older team. I mean, there's a reason why they have the 22nd pick. You know, they were an okay team last year, and they made it to the playoffs, but they need, you know –
Yeah, they need longevity.
A lot
can't
of
just
help.
Play. Yeah.
Yeah, they need a lot. They need a lot of help, I think, right now.
But it's. Some teams that got bad grades in my, really grabbed my attention. Like Panthers got bad grade. And
yeah,
their
first round pick, in my opinion, was really stupid.
The outside linebacker after losing Hardy?
They picked that kid from Washington. He's not really an outside linebacker. He's too small. They don't know whether they're going to play him at safety. He played safety, outside linebacker, and, like, running back at Washington.
Okay.
Shaq Thompson. I mean, don't get me wrong, the kid's got talent. But when you're a team that needs, you know, you've got certain needs, I just don't think that Where are we gonna fit this kid in is a pick that you need to make.
Yeah.
In the first round, you shouldn't be making a pick like, oh, I wonder where we're gonna put this kid. You don't know what position
yeah,
he's gonna play. Why are you picking that guy in the first round? You'd easily have gotten him in the second round. No problem. I mean, unless they have a specific role that they've already picked out for him to play, and they're like, well, this is what we're gonna do. But from what everybody in the draft said, it wasn't like that they had this great plan for this kid, like, oh, we know what we're going to do with him for sure. Like, it was a thing like, oh, we got to find a spot for him. Like, dude, when you're the 25th pick in the draft, you shouldn't, like, you should already know where you're going to play.
Yeah.
Like, do you play defense? Do you play offense? I mean, if you play defense, do you play outside linebacker or do you play safety? Because I don't think he's big enough to play outside linebacker in the NFL. At 6 foot and an eighth, 228, he's not big enough to play linebacker in the NFL. I mean, there's just no way. He's like a safety. He's a safety. He's a free safety.
Yeah, I mean,
in my opinion, or a strong safety.
Designated pass rusher, just send him in every down. Just try to use his speed.
I mean, he's a playmaker. He makes a lot of plays. He scored touchdowns on defense and offense. And I mean, don't get me wrong. This he could end up being the greatest thing that, you know, has happened to Carolina. Although, Kuechly was a great pick. You know, they're a linebacker, and they had, I still think as many people. I don't think Cam Newton is by any means like a bust in the NFL. You know what I mean? Even as a number one pick, like, I don't think he's a bust. I think he's played, like, all right. You know what I mean? He's made the playoffs a couple of years.
Yeah. I like the Funchess pick, the receiver they got.
Funchess at a...
Michigan.
At a Michigan?
Yeah, they got another big body in there to go on the other side of Kevin Williams,
Calvin,
right?
Benjamin.
Yeah, there we go. Jesus, I'm terrible with names today.
Well, you're no expert in nameology, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But, I think that's an okay pick for them. I mean, they definitely needed somebody else. I mean, obviously they lost Steve Smith the year before. I felt like Kelvin Benjamin was really, like, the only dude that they even, like, had last year.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
kind of
how I
talk about it.
And I mean, they got their last pick. They got a running back. You know.
Yeah, Cameron. They took Cameron Artis Payne out of Auburn.
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
I mean, if they can make that into a steal, and they only had five picks too. So.
Yeah, they didn't.
I guess they worked.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, some teams. I mean, who is it? Cleveland had like 12 picks. And, like, they only had, like, five. I mean, obviously you can see, you know, how the NFL tries to level it out with the picks and, you know, free agents and all that other stuff. And I feel like the teams that were really terrible got more picks, which is good.
Yeah.
In my opinion, yeah, I feel like the teams that were, like, worst, like, got more picks. Like, Oakland had a lot of picks. Cleveland had a lot of picks. You know, these are all teams that are, like, we would view as, like, lower tier of the NFL, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and then, let me see. Yeah, and another, still on this whole bad grading system, the Patriots, they actually gave the Patriots a bad grade for their draft. And I love their draft. I felt, as a Patriots fan, they did everything to make their team better. You know, they got, you know, they filled the Vince Wilfork hole first round, got a strong safety. And then we picked up two more defensive ends, which I like to rotate that defensive line. I mean, you know, you might see some weird formations on defense and stuff, but I just feel like they really, you know, made sure they beefed up that defensive front, which I feel has been very weak the past few years. So,
yeah,
I was pretty excited with their picks.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that their first-round selection was a really good pick. I mean, I like the pick out of Texas, defensive tackle, I thought was a really good pick for them.
Yeah, so... we'll see. Like we were saying earlier, man, it's all about, you know, what these guys, all these guys bring to, like, produce. It's, you know, look at Jaguars. Yeah, well, they had a great first-round pick, but guess what? Guess who ain't there next season?
I can't believe that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's the worst. I mean, I feel bad for the guy. You know, he worked so hard.
Is that the final sign for the Jaguars? You should move to L.A.?
Maybe.
even though I don't think they're in the running anymore, because I think San Diego, St. Louis, and Oakland are the ones that are actually trying to move to L.A. because they're going to have that new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jacksonville's out of the running at this point.
Yeah.
So.
Let's see. We've got other...
The Orlando City game last night.
Okay.
Orlando City was down 2-0. They gave up two ridiculous. Well, the first goal was okay in the first. Was early in the first half. Then they gave up a terrible goal later in the second half. It was like the 60th minute. The guy kicked it over the head, and the defender tried to head it. Headed it off his head. The goalie had come out, and the guy like basically just tapped it in the net for the other team. Like, it was pathetic. And then we scored two goals in the final 15 minutes of the game to tie the game. We scored the final goal in the 90th minute, and then the game was over. And it was a tie.
Nice.
That was a good night for Orlando City last night, coming away with the tie late. Pretty solid. And at the same time, the Chicago Bulls were beating the headband-wearing LeBron James Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, so I saw a lot about that on Twitter last night. So I'm taking it that taking Chicago won. Because who was it? Rose hit the buzzer beater to go into
to win the game.
Oh, to win the game. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they didn't go into overtime. They won.
Ah.
They won in regulation in the fourth quarter. Yeah, D. Rose hit that shot, and they won the game. Beat the Cavs. Clippers won again last night, too, to take a 2-1 series lead. So that was big for them, which is good stuff. I'd like to see a Golden State against Chicago final is what I'd like to see, honestly.
I mean, good for the Clippers, though, man. They've been terrible for so long.
Yeah, I think that after they beat the Spurs, I feel like the after knocking off the defending champs, the Clippers are just – they're focused. I feel like they're just really focused right now. Chris Paul, you know – returning in the next game, I think it's going to be huge. So I like the Clippers in that series for sure over Houston. I like Golden State over the Grizzlies. I think that'll be a good series still. And then I don't know, the Atlanta Washington series, I think John Wall's out, so I don't know. I liked Washington at the beginning, but now that Wall's out, I like Atlanta. So I could see like Chicago Atlanta Eastern Conference Finals.
You think? I mean, now the Bulls pretty much have home court advantage now, right? Through the playoffs,
they do. Yeah, they do. No, well,
not through the playoffs.
The Bulls are actually the 3 seed, but they do have home court advantage after winning last night because they split in Cleveland and they won last night, so they still have home court. The next two games are in Chicago. Chicago could win both games and close out.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be awesome. And, I mean, winning last night, in my opinion, was huge because the last couple times they'd faced a LeBron James team, they had won the first game and then they had lost the next four.
Okay.
Yeah, the last couple times when LeBron was at the Heat, they ended up losing. They beat them in the first game and then they would lose in five. They lost the next four games in a row. So I think winning last night is a huge, huge deal for Chicago, being able to get over that, you know, like, oh, we can't win another game after we beat them once. Type of mentality. So I think that was definitely huge for Chicago to win last night.
Yeah, do you think the big impact in that series is Love being out for the playoffs?
I mean, I can definitely think that Love, like, being out can hurt them. I mean, I think it is hurting them. I mean, obviously, in the beginning of the year, I felt like he wasn't, you know, I mean, I remember at the beginning of the year when everything first came together, there, you know, his plus minus wasn't very good overall, you know, as far as, like, him being out on the court. Like, they, you know, he was almost considered like a defensive like liability. You know, he wasn't rebounding enough and stuff like that. So I feel like over the course of the season, he definitely got better. So I think it's going to hurt having him out, but I don't know. I always thought he was a good player, but I never thought he was like a tough guy, like, you know, one of the top players in the league. I always thought he was like a top tier, like, role player. You know what I mean? It's kind of how I always viewed Kevin Love. I felt like on a team like Minnesota, when you're the only guy that's any good necessarily, then, yeah, of course you're going to be putting up, you know, 25 points and 20 boards.
Yeah.
There's nobody else around. You know, but when you're playing on a team that's in the playoffs, you got plenty of other guys that are good. You know, what he was putting in during the playoffs, about like 15, 9, and a couple assists, you know, that's not what I consider like a top-tier NBA player. You know, I would say Kyrie Irving and LeBron are top-tier NBA players. Both of them have played amazing.
Do you think that they would have been better off if who's the rookie they traded away?
Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, do you think
I think that they should have kept Wiggins because they ended up trading for Mozgov, who they use a lot. They really like in the center position. He gives them a good rim protector, gives them a good guy down low to rebound, and he's a tough guy. Mozgov's like a tough Russian dude. I think that they should have kept Wiggins and not made the trade for Love. Everyone just fell in love with the Love trade. Like, oh, it's going to Cleveland for NBA title. You know, they're going to win it all. They're going to be great. I think everyone just like fell in love. Like, oh, that's just like the missing piece. Like, that's all we need to win the title of Kevin Love. And I think that they could have not gotten Kevin Love, kept Andrew Wiggins and added Mozgov, and then added somebody else as a free agent or through a trade, but not had to give up your number one pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you traded your number one pick, a guy who could be in the league and play for your team for essentially like 12 to 15 years. If that's how you view the guy as a number one pick, essentially, you trade that guy away for Kevin Love, who's already been in the league for what, like 8 or 9 years. Cause you think that just this one guy is going to help you win a championship this year. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was a bad pick or a bad trade.
Yeah.
I think it was a bad trade for Cleveland. Yeah.
I definitely agree. I thought that was a bad move. Like you said, you're giving away your number one pick, which you really haven't even played with the other guys yet, for Love, who's a big guy that's sitting outside most of the time. Wiggins could have probably played inside a little bit more, helped you on the boards. I just think that would have been – I just liked Wiggins way better than Love.
Yeah.
I'm not the best NBA guy, but – No, I just know the basics, and I'd rather have Wiggins.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'd rather have Wiggins over Love, for sure. That's just my opinion, too. I would agree with you on that. I would agree.
It just made more sense. Like you said, you got this guy that's going to last, you know, potentially 10 to 15 years with another young guy in Irvin. They get to play with LeBron, learn some stuff. I mean, yeah, even in press conferences, that's what LeBron was saying. He's like, yeah, we have a great young team. You know, I can, you know, help them, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, okay, let's get Love. It's like,
I mean, it's just like they just, like, forewent that whole possibility of, like, keeping Wiggins. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I don't agree with it, but. Prerogative. Obviously, the trade happened a long time ago, so.
Yeah.
It is too late now, but like I said, yeah.
But it's like you're saying with the NFL, I think we were at work and you're talking about it, how, you know, most of these teams win with who they draft. I mean, NBA is a little bit different, you know, there's only five guys on the court, but in the NFL, like most quarterbacks, and it was a good point. I really thought about it after you said it. Was, you know, they were drafted by that team. They weren't a free agent. They didn't come in and like make this team awesome. You know, they were drafted on a team. They had a team built around them, and that's how most of these teams like literally make it to the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
Yeah, like I said, I think Drew Brees was the last guy I looked up that was a quarterback to win the Super Bowl with a team that didn't draft him. No, I know, and I think that he's the only one within, like, the last, like, 10 years. You know what I mean? As far as I can remember. Can't think of any other team.
Only guy I could think of that was before him was Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, and that was in, like, 2000, though, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or 2001, when he won
with somewhere around there. Yeah.
It's really funny, for a while there, so 2001, Trent Dilfer is a quarterback that wins the Super Bowl, okay? 2002, mm-hmm. Tampa Bay wins the Super Bowl. Who is their quarterback? Brad Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Was he drafted by Tampa? He was with Tampa Bay for like his whole career, wasn't he? Or wasn't he with Minnesota first?
I think he was with Minnesota.
I want to say that too. I want to say that he was with them first.
So okay,
but
so then we
that,
got two. Brady. Cause, no, you know what? Dilfer won 2000. Brady won 2001. Then the Bucks. And then Brady went back-to-back.
Yeah, in 2003 and 2004. And then 2005. Who won in 2005?
That's a good question.
Was it the Rams? Kurt Warner?
Mm-mm. No, Kurt Warner was 99,
right?
Well,
whatever year that they beat the Patriots. They beat the Patriots,
well,
right?
Well, they lost to the Patriots. They lost to the Patriots.
Oh, that's right.
And
they beat Tennessee. They beat Tennessee in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
they beat
Tennessee the year before.
That was, I think, I want to say that was 99.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's see.
Yeah.
Looking up Brad Johnson.
Then it was like 2005. So I know that since then, the Steelers, the Ravens, obviously this year, New England.
Brad Johnson
was it the Steelers? Brad Johnson was on the Vikings before, right?
No, Brad Johnson was on the Vikings before.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of 2005 to 2015 in the last 10 years. That was Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco, Aaron Roethlisberger, Tom Brady.
I'm looking at right now.
Aaron Rodgers, talking about all the winning Super Bowl quarterbacks, Drew Brees.
All right, 2005. All right, 2004, 2005 was the Patriots. 2003 was the Bucks with a free agent quarterback in Johnson. 2001 was the Ravens with Trent Dilfer.
Well, who's 2006 then? Who's like 05-06?
Let's see. 05 was the Patriots back-to-back, 2004-2005.
All right, then who was after that?
With Ben Roethlisberger.
Yep.
Then we had Peyton and Peyton Manning. Then we had Eli Manning. Yep. Then we had...
Eli, that's right. I forgot Eli won those two Super Bowls. That's the only other guy I couldn't figure out.
08, yeah. And then 09 was Ben Roethlisberger again. And 2010 was Breeze. Then 11 was, why am I going blank today? Discount and double check, Aaron Rodgers. And then 12 was Eli again. Baltimore with their draft picks of
Falco
13.
Yeah,
then we
last three quarterbacks to win Super Bowls that weren't drafted by their team were Drew Brees, Trent Dilfer, and Brad Johnson.
Mm-hmm. And then now
and Trent Dilfer and Brad Trent Dilfer and Brad Johnson are before 2003. So in the last 12 years, there's been one quarterback that's won a Super Bowl that wasn't drafted by his original team.
Yep. And even before that. Let's see. The Rams won with
Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner. Now, who did? Yeah, they didn't draft him, but I think that was his first NFL team because he played in
Canada
first.
He, He was in Canada, but he was also in the Arena League. He played in Arena Football.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of, you know, he didn't really play in the NFL.
He was never even in the NFL draft. So, I wouldn't you can't even count that. He was, like I said, he wasn't even in the draft.
Then Denver went back-to-back before Warner. So, that was John Elway finally getting it at the end of his career.
Yep.
Then you got another shaky one. 97 is Brett Favre.
He was drafted by Atlanta.
Yeah, and what did he trade, like first year of his career or something like that?
I want to say it was his first or second year.
Yeah, I mean, they had it took time to build around him to get to that level. So
yeah,
I mean, you know, it's and then before that was Cowboys with Aikman.
Aikman.
Aikman, Dallas, 96. Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
And you got Steve Young, who finally won in 95. Aikman back-to-back. Let's see. The Redskins had...
Mark Rippon.
I think Rob... Yeah.
It was Mark Rippon. I think he was... Yeah. I don't know who he was drafted by.
Yeah, I don't think he was drafted by them. Phil Simms and Jeff Hosteller won in 91 with the Jets. Joe Montana.
No, you mean the Giants.
90-99. Giants. I don't know why I said the Jets. But, both. I'm not sure if Hosteller – I mean, Phil Simms started the game, so he got him there. And he was third drafted. Yeah, so – but, yeah, it's like, I mean, we're really not finding a lot of teams that won without – I mean, the past 20, what did we all, I went all the way back to, let's just go 89.
I mean, you went all the
last
way, 26 I mean, you went all
years.
Way back, yeah.
Yeah. And we found, what, like five quarterbacks?
Four or five guys.
Yeah. That weren't drafted by the team.
Reed,
I mean,
Dilfer,
that's a, let's see, 20% of the quarterbacks that have won. The Super Bowl wasn't drafted by their team. So that means you have an 80% chance of winning by drafting a great quarterback and building around him.
Yep.
Statistics.
Yeah, I know, seriously.
So, you know, draft's important. Hopefully we knock that down today. You know, it's just not the players, the big-name players, but it's teams that, you know, got what the positions they needed, the guy that they thought was going to fill that role. And I think a lot of teams did that this draft, to be honest with you.
I think so, yeah. I think a lot of teams did pretty good addressing their needs for the most part. The majority of teams, I feel like, did a pretty good job.
Yeah, and we got 60 seconds. Anything you want to end off with, Doug?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Oh, yeah, like I said, I'll just end off as normal. You can follow us on Twitter at Doom Radio. And then we, you know, we'll be scheduled probably next week. You want to do AFC or NFC scheduling? I guess we can just figure out
we'll
talk schedules next week. And, yeah, we'll be back. We're going to do our best to find stuff to talk about every week until the season starts, and we'll get on a way better, you know, multiple shows a week schedule.
A week, yeah.
And, so hope everybody enjoyed us going back and forth, and have a good weekend. Enjoy Mother's Day. Make sure you call your moms, and that's about it.
Yeah, right. All right. Sounds good.
All right, man. See you in a bit.
All right. See you later.
Later.